Midlands Today on Midlands 103 with O'Brien's Mullingar. It's official Westmeath. No county loves Renault more. POBrien.ie. When people in the Midlands want to talk, they talk to Will Faulkner.
Hey, good morning. How are you on this Wednesday? Yes. Bank holiday gets us a little further into the week. We're on the hump day already. Lovely story for you this morning. How the Tooth Fairy has in effect come twice to the one boy. And the... Well, let's just say there was a lot of organisation in the background for this one. But it'll put a smile on your face. Fla Ceoil na hÉireann brings a bumper season for Mullingar's publicans, and we'll be hearing from some of the punters after 10. And former Rose of Tralee, Maria Walsh, and indeed serving MEP for the Midlands Northwest, she is our guest on That's Life with Brian Cunningham after 11. When you call, 0818 300 103 is the Midlands 103 comment line. You can text or WhatsApp 083 30 10 103, powered by Lamb Brothers Toyota in Tullamore. And if you become caller of the day, you will be heading to the Tullamore Show. For the first time since 2019, because Ireland's biggest one-day agri show is back, thank heavens. Not alone with the agri show, but the craft village, the food pavilions, the fun for the kids, the live music, the whole kit and caboodle back bigger than ever. And it's happening Sunday week. That is Sunday week, the 14th of August. Now, on the front pages this morning, we'll start with a not-so-serious story. Well, it is if you're Shane Lowry. Front of the Irish Daily Star, Baggy Island is the headline. So, poor Shane was flying to the United States, and he gave his baggage to the handlers, as you do, and the baggage included golf clubs, which are rather important for Shane Lowry ahead of a tournament. And rather than heading to Greensboro in North Carolina along with Shane, his golf clubs instead made their way to Chicago, which is in Illinois, which is quite a distance away. And he made a statement on social media comparing it to Father Ted, and he is not impressed with Dublin Airport. It's really just one bad news story after another for the DAA. But anyway, that's the front of the Irish Daily Star. I'm sure he'll get the clubs back in jig time and hopefully won't be thrown for the tournament this week. The front of the Irish Times, oh, very, very festive photo, actually, from Mullingar. You see Dara O'Hogan and his daughters, Sarah and Cecilia, and they are spinning around. It looks like Ring-a-Ring-a-Rosie in the middle of the street in Mullingar as the Fla continues until Sunday. Kelly resigns as judge of Dubai Court. What's this about? Former High Court President Peter Kelly has decided to resign as a judge in Dubai's International Financial Centre Courts. And he follows just hours after the Gulf Court removed all references to former Chief Justice Frank Clark following his resignation at the weekend. So two high-profile Irish judges resign from the court in Dubai in quick succession. And the main story on the Irish Independent says the state will pay €5 million to upgrade church property for Ukrainians. So there are many unused or certainly underused buildings belonging to the various religious institutions, and the state has committed €5 million to renovating these buildings so they can be used to house not alone Ukrainian refugees but people fleeing oppression across the globe, those who seek international protection here. It's amazing what is a real crisis and what is not a real crisis in the minds of our politicians and our policymakers, because they have bandied about the word crisis for years in relation to Irish homelessness, but never were they so motivated or so busy or so proactive in dealing with that challenge But when a war breaks out and refugees are coming here in their thousands, there seems to be a different impetus. There seems to be far more resourcefulness and creative thinking, and that's not to say it's not deserved, but it's quite a contrast in energy, in enthusiasm, and in delivery, ultimately. That's on the front of the Irish Independent. Now, let's look inside the papers. And there's a story from the ESRI. These are the great economic and social researchers who advise the government about all sorts of things. And on this occasion, it's energy efficiency and retrofitting of houses. And the aim over the next few years is to upgrade all of our housing stock, all of our own homes, to at least a B2 energy rating, which is very, very efficient. And the researchers are saying one of the main ways we'll achieve this is by installing heat pumps rather than relying on fossil fuel, oil, gas burners. And one of the knock-on effects is that electricity consumption around the country will skyrocket because heat pumps draw quite a lot of electricity. And the theory, at least, is you will pay less for the electricity than you do for the solid fuel. Much like if you have an electric car, you should pay less for the electricity than you do for the petrol or diesel. So the big challenge for government is not everybody can afford a heat pump. So they're looking at grants, which at the moment vary between 3,500 and 6,500 euro. But you still have to find quite a lot of the money yourself. So retrofitting heat pumps, they say, will be the biggest plank of their strategy to upgrade homes. Beyond insulation, beyond better windows and so on, heat pumps are the be-all and end-all, according to this research. Mullingar is enjoying a tsunami of business. The words of Liam Gilleran, who is chairman of the Westmeath branch of the Vintners Federation. He also runs Gilleran's Bar in Mullingar. And he says he was on a high after the first day of festivities. He tells the Irish Independent this morning, the success of the FLA finally coming to Mullingar is incredible to see. And he actually feels emotional because it was a horrible 2 years when they had COVID and they had all the complaints and all the rows and so on over showing certs on entrance. And it was a very downbeat time for businesses who were in the hospitality trade. But now Mullingar is absolutely flying it. He says there was a tsunami of business yesterday. He has been to a few FLAs, so he was prepared, but he thinks some of his colleagues around the town were caught off guard. He says, I'm delighted for all the pubs and the hotels. We here in Ireland, we have an awful habit of complaining. It's a very Irish thing, but there's certainly nothing to complain about this week. And he says, Westmeath County Council, the FLA committee and the volunteers should take a bow because they are the ones who made this happen. Will we mention Sabina Higgins today? Because, again, all of the national newspapers are piling on the president's wife, no doubt because there are many politicians who enjoy seeing Michael D. Higgins and Sabina taken down a peg or two, because he's a very popular president. And, well, did she put a foot wrong in the Irish Times when she suggested that there should be peace talks and didn't really make a distinction between Vladimir Putin and Volodymyr Zelensky as to who was in the wrong? Well, she came out yesterday with a statement to say she was dismayed that people had criticised her call for a ceasefire. And she says, I cannot understand that people would find anything unacceptable in a plea for peace and negotiations when the future of humanity is threatened by war, global warming and famine. Now, former Attorney General, indeed former Taoiseach Michael McDougall, has written in the Irish Times this morning why he believes Sabina Higgins was wrong to do this as the President's wife and as somebody so connected to the office of the Uachtaráin na hÉireann. I'm not sure whether you have a view on this. It's one of those stories that if it wasn't silly season, if it wasn't August, it probably wouldn't be snowballing in the way that it is. Nancy Pelosi, now she is the US House Speaker. In effect, she is third in line. You've got Joe Biden, you've got Kamala Harris, his vice president, and then Nancy Pelosi. She's the next most senior politician in the United States. And she has decided, of her own accord, to visit Taiwan. And this is not something approved by the White House. It is something that has very much wound up Xi Jinping, the Chinese president, and he is promising consequences as a result of her visit to Taiwan. You see, Taiwan wishes to be independent from China, and China would rather it wasn't. And there is a long-running dispute, and it's quite complicated. But Ms. Pelosi says 43 years ago, the US made a bedrock promise to always stand with Taiwan, and we have built a thriving partnership. And, well, the Chinese don't accept that, and they're now conducting military exercises in the sea off Taiwan. And it's becoming quite a heated situation that in circumstances like this, things can go wrong, and then you end up with another war breaking out, more death and more destruction and more needless suffering. But anyway, that's in the Irish Times if you want to read about it. Have we got something a little more cheerful? Yeah. Here's a bizarre one for you. A woman who hasn't cut her nails has been named in the Guinness Book of Record, but how long are they? 42 feet. And she hasn't cut them in 25 years. So how do you function when your nails, your fingernails, are 42 feet long? Is it deliberately that you want to get in the Guinness Book of Records? Do you set out 25 years ago to say, well, all right, this is what I have to do? It just seems bizarre. And one last one. What have you lost that you most regret? Because I doubt you will beat this guy. James Howells is a Welshman who was an early believer in Bitcoin, you know, cryptocurrency. And he bought a crypto coin first in 2009, and he accumulated it over the next 4 years. And he stored it on a hard drive. And then somehow made the mistake of throwing out his hard drive. And with inflation in cryptocurrency, that hard drive is now worth £150 million. Yes, £150 million thrown in the rubbish. So he got on to his local council, Newport City Council, and he was asking could they possibly excavate the landfill and he would share the money with them. And anyway, they said no, environmental reasons, and the disc itself might be damaged and inaccessible and so on. But he persisted, and according to the Irish Independent this morning, he has now raised the finance necessary to go digging up Newport landfill and rescue his hard drive. And he will use the proceeds, it says, to turn the city into a cryptocurrency hub, which you could do with 150 million. You could do a lot with that sort of money. But I'm just wondering, have you thrown anything out that you most deeply regret? And if so, what is it? Have you thrown money away? Not necessarily 150 million quid. You'd be sore after that one, wouldn't you? Now, still to come today, heat pumps. And they are apparently the biggest way to save on your energy bills overall. And it is one of the central planks of the government strategy to retrofit homes, to get heat pumps rather than solid fuel or rather than oil or gas burners into properties. The ESRI says this is the single most effective tool in the box. Well, we'll be exploring that in more detail, but here's a text that'll make you think twice about it. A listener was in a conference recently, and one of the speakers mentioned a heat pump and how their electricity bill went from €200 in a typical billing period to €1,300. Now, you annualise that, it's far more than you would be spending on kerosene, for instance. So, are they all there cracked up to be? If you've got a heat pump, if you can tell us what your experience has been, I think it will be very useful, because the great people in the white coats of the Economic and Social Research Institute, they say, oh, this is the way to go. Do you disagree? Anyway, a far more cheerful story. Let's meet, well, first of all, Marie Kenny from Mullingar. Marie, how are you today?
Hi, how are you doing?
You were in a pub not so long ago in Portlaoise. Did you have a good night?
It was a great night, yeah.
Good. And you checked then your money the following day, and a fiver stood out for some reason. Why?
Sure did. It was a 5 euro note that a child had got from the Tooth Fairy. And it said on it to Jamie, something with love or whatever from the Tooth Fairy. So I kept it. I just couldn't spend it.
Ah. And it, well, it's one thing to keep it. You decided to go on a treasure hunt.
I did. I decided to try and locate him, to give it back to him.
And how on earth did you manage to pin down little Jamie from Rochford Bridge?
I went on social media and I put it on public, and within 2 hours he was found.
Right, that quick. Well, yeah. In that case, let's meet the other side of the equation. That's Niamh Cully, who is Jamie's mum. How old is Jamie, Niamh? Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Jamie is 7. He turned 7 2 weeks ago.
Very good. And has the Tooth Fairy been a frequent visitor yet?
Oh, absolutely. He's come a few times. I have an older daughter, 8, and she's, come a few times to her as well.
Right. I'm just commenting on the rate of inflation here. I remember when the Tooth Fairy arrived, you might have been lucky to get 10 pence. But anyway, so it's a fiver these days.
Oh, yeah.
She's feeling generous.
Was it a pound? Do you remember it was a pound you would get when the Tooth Fairy came to me.
Well, she's infinitely more generous now, it would seem. Anyway,
yes.
You are Jamie's mum. So how did you discover that Marie had located this fiver?
It was actually, as the days went on, a few people had sent it to myself and my husband. But initially, it was actually a mother of a little boy that Jamie goes to school with had sent it to me. And she actually had put in the post that Marie had put up saying, this is Niamh Cully's son.
And did you remember the fiver in question?
Oh, absolutely. The Tooth Fairy would always leave a little note for the kids when she would come or when he would come. We would have, yeah.
And when Jamie originally received the fiver, do you recall what he spent it on?
I think it was ice cream at the time. I'm one of these that doesn't carry cash, and it was an ice cream van. I don't take cards, and he wanted me. I think he actually bought an ice cream for himself and his sisters. Down in a loan.
So away the money goes into circulation then.
Yeah.
And somehow filters its way from Athlone to this pub in Portlaoise, and it gets into Marie's pocket then. And
yes.
Marie, did you send the money to Jamie? How did you reunite him with it?
His mum came in to work last Saturday. I work in Corriville and Patrick Street, and he brought me in a bus to pay flowers and gave him back his little note.
Ah. Yeah. Ah, that was lovely.
Ah, it was lovely.
How did Jamie react when you told him, Niamh?
Oh, he was super excited. Yesterday when I showed him the write-ups in the paper, he had said, Jesus, I'm famous, so he was absolutely delighted. He was thrilled. And he's going around telling everybody that, he's famous, so he's over the moon.
Yeah, well, he's a very lucky boy to get paid twice for the one tooth.
He absolutely is. Yeah,
that is rare. Because, Marie, in effect, you are like a second tooth fairy on this. Is he going to spend it this time, Niamh, or is he going to maybe mind it a little longer?
Well, he's minded it. He has a chest of drawers in his bedroom with a glass top on it that he has photographs underneath it, and it's popped under there now on display.
Well, it's a lovely story, and I'm sure, Marie, you get that warm, fuzzy feeling now knowing you've done some good. You've made a little boy happy.
Ah, yeah. Well, I've granddaughters of my own, so I was thinking when I saw the note, I can't part with this.
Well done. Well done. It's put a smile on our face on this Wednesday. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Marie.
Bye. So Marie Kenny from Mullingar. Try and figure this one out. So on a night out in Portlaoise, she finds this fiver that had been spent by little Jamie Cully from Rochford Bridge on ice cream in Athlone. That's how money moves about, isn't it? Anyway, it's a lovely story. And if you've got something similar that you think just might cheer us up on this Wednesday morning, please share on 083 30 10 103. You could even become caller of the day and win tickets to the Tullamore Show, which is back with a bang on Sunday week. Coming up on 22 minutes to 10, still to come, Shane Lowry's missing golf clubs. Has he been reunited with them yet? And what on earth went wrong? Plus, Fla Keol na hÉireann continues going from strength to strength in Mullingar. Publicans, very happy. Restaurateurs also seem to be pleased. And by all accounts, the hotels, not just in Mullingar, but for a very wide radius around the town, are completely chock-a-block. Let's meet some of the punters, some of the people who are celebrating the return of the Fla after the 10 o'clock news. So the clever people at the ESRI have published a report on the costs, the benefits and the trade-offs for the Irish power system as we decarbonise through electricity. And it looks at your house, my house, private houses in general, and concludes that the most expensive part of the process will be installing electricity-powered heat pumps to replace oil and gas burners. But it also reckons it will be a hugely effective step in bringing homes up to a minimum standard of a B2 energy rating. But since I mentioned this not a half an hour ago, many listeners who have heat pumps or who know of neighbours using heat pumps say the increase in the electricity cost is more than you think and sometimes can work out more expensive than the oil or gas solution they replaced. Let's tease this out in a little more detail, if we can, with Gilbert Bryan of MeTac Training in Mount Rath. Gilbert, good morning.
Good morning, Will. Thank you for having me on.
Let's go back to basics. Can you explain what a heat pump is and how it works?
Well, basically, a heat pump is a device that actually takes heat from a source, such as maybe the air, the ground or water, and uses that heat then to provide further heat to, say, your application, such as your heating system in your house, let it be underfloor heating, radiators or hot water. And basically what it's doing is it's taking a certain amount of heat and it's actually turning that heat into maybe a multiplier factor. So let's say, for argument's sake, it takes 4 kilowatts of heat out of the ground, and it then inside the heat pump, it does certain things or whatever, and it gives you 16 kilowatts of heat. I'm just taking that as an example. So basically, you're taking a small amount of heat from a source, and you're using your heat pump then to multiply that heat to give it into your house. So it is a very efficient system in relation to providing heat in comparison to, say, oil or gas. Oil or gas are still efficient if you have a good efficient oil boiler or a good efficient gas boiler, but what's actually burning in your fuel is actually what's going in your house. So a heat pump works slightly different. It's actually using, as I say, a small amount of heat, multiplying that heat and giving it into your house. So the crucial thing about a heat pump is that your house is designed correctly and insulated correctly to absorb that heat and retain that heat. If you have a situation where you produce heat by a heat pump and you lose that heat in your house, well, obviously then the heat pump is doing its job. And if you're, say, as you mentioned in your introduction there, the electricity bill is rising or whatever, that's not the heat pump's fault. That is the fault of that your house is losing heat and your heat pump has to work harder to keep up with the demand of your house, if you know what I mean.
Yes. So if you have, let's say, an A-rated new build that has the latest U-values in the windows and it has perfect insulation and so on, then a heat pump will have the maximum benefit because it won't have to work especially hard.
Absolutely. And the whole idea of a heat pump is, and the efficiency of the heat pump is, that it works as, if you like, as least hard as possible to give you your heat. So you're correct in saying that if your house is well insulated, it can retain the heat with good insulation, good windows. In other words, an aerated house, a heat pump is a very efficient way of heating your house.
So if your house is older and the insulation isn't as good and the heat retention is poor, this is where a heat pump is perhaps not the first step that you should take. It's something that comes after you've addressed air tightness, insulation, the U values of the windows and so on.
Absolutely. So I suppose in Ireland we're so used to having, you know, hot radiators, warm houses in relation to warm rooms. So you have a radiator there that's putting out a lot of heat. You know, if we wanted to dry a towel or whatever, we can put it on the radiator. That day is gone in relation to heat pump. Heat pump works at a much lower temperature differential than in your house and what you're trying to heat in your room. And people have this thing that if they walk up to a radiator that is being operated by a heat pump, it's not hot like we used to understand it to be. It's maybe only just lukewarm or tepid. And they think that, you know, they have this thing, this heat pump is not working correctly or whatever. It's all down at the end of the day to how well your house is insulated, how well it can retain the heat. And the more insulated your house is, the less it will take the heat. So if you like, one time we used to heat houses, if you like, heat rooms with high temperature radiators. Now we're sending in a small amount of heat into that same room to a different type of radiator, if you like, or a different size of a radiator. And if we can retain that heat as much as possible, well, at the end of the day, it's all about having good, comfortable living conditions. You won't notice any difference. But people have this thing that, you know, if the thing is not hot, whatever, there's something wrong. And it's all down to the end of the day that the house is not well insulated. A heat pump is a waste of time. You have to get the house well insulated, first of all, that it can retain the heat. And if that is the case, then a heat pump should work well. The more insulated the house is and the more it can retain the heat, the more efficient will your heat pump be, the less will your running costs be. So the less your electricity bill will be.
I'm beginning to understand. So it's a piece in a jigsaw and it's not something that stands alone in an older house. So with that in mind, what sort of financial assistance is there in place at the moment to cover the bills?
Well, at the moment, like the SEI are giving considerable grants in relation to upgrading homes. Take, for example, a heat pump there for, say, a standalone house or a detached house. They're giving a grant of $6,500, $4,500 for an apartment. Then on the insulation side of things and the retrofitting, they're also giving some very considerable grants. You take it like if you wanted to put maybe insulation in your ceiling, up to €500 there for a detached house, if I can correct. 3,000 maybe for, you know, rafter installations, like the spray-on foam and all that kind of stuff. If you're going for complete window upgrade, 4,000. So, I mean, definitely SEI, their long-term plan is to try and pull the energy use in this country down to as low as possible. And so the government, Europe obviously initially, coming through the Irish government, coming through the SEI, they are pumping a lot of money into retrofitting homes at the moment. So there is great grants and incentives out there at the moment for people to upgrade their home.
Mm.
And as you said earlier on, it's a jigsaw. Like the heat pump is one part of the jigsaw. There's many parts of the jigsaw. Retrofitting, insulation, heat retention, they're all part of the jigsaw. And if you get everything right, it definitely will be a good system and we will reduce our carbon footprint in this country going forward.
And also, I suppose, considering where the electricity comes from, if... And again, it's all down to money. If you can install solar panels on your home and therefore the electricity, it's being generated by natural resources, it's not coming from carbon, and you can probably keep the cost to a minimum as well with the solar panels, the running costs. So again, it's pairing it in a chain of different measures. How has inflation impacted on this? Because I'm conscious if the government is promoting it and governments across the world are doing so, demand is going up and we've had all sorts of supply chain challenges over recent years between war in Ukraine, COVID and so on. How have the cost of materials changed?
Well, obviously that's a big factor at the moment because of COVID and because of the war in Ukraine and other things, I suppose. Raw materials have got a bit scarce and so prices have gone up. And that is a factor at the minute. But at the same time, I mean, SEI has still increased their grants in the, you know, they released new figures in early this year where they actually increased the grants and they broadened the scope of those grants. So while inflation is definitely a factor, the grants are still there. And I mean, at the end of the day, I would say that the payoff will outweigh, if you like, the negative going forward. It's something we have to live with. It's out of our control. So I suppose people will try and hold off and see will prices come down or whatever. So it's just something that's out of our control. So we just have to live with it going forward. is my opinion.
Gilbert, thank you for sharing your knowledge with us. I think it's a better understanding than many of us have now as to how a heat pump works. So I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Will.
Gilbert Bryan of MeTac Training in Mount Rath. Let's change gears. Shane Lowry is on the front of several newspapers this morning because his golf clubs have gone missing. How did this happen? Let's find out from our sports editor, David Hollywood. David, good morning.
Good morning, Will.
What happened to poor Shane's clubs?
Well, it's not ideal preparation for playing a golf tournament this week, that's for certain. They've gone MIA up to a point. He was appealing to Dublin Airport on social media yesterday evening, looking to locate missing clubs and his missing suitcase. He's playing in the Wyndham Championship in North Carolina this week. Scheduled to tee off tomorrow at 6 o'clock Irish time. Now, golfers, meticulous folk, would have preferred to, he would prefer to be able to prepare for this in the normal way, play practice rounds with his clubs today, for instance. That's absolutely out the window. The good news is they have shown up in Chicago. So after appealing to Dublin Airport to help find his clubs and suitcase, they have shown up in Chicago. He subsequently has appealed to the Chicago Airport, Aer Lingus, and United Airlines for help to get those clubs back to him in North Carolina in time for his tee-off time this week.
Yeah, of course, you have to keep in mind the geography of the United States, slightly different to Ireland. It's not like clubs going missing in Mullingar and you're in Tullamore. It's a short hop. In this case, there's probably, 1,000 miles near enough between Chicago and Greensboro. Well, certainly 500 anyway. So it'll have to travel by air.
Yes, he's going to be doing well to get hold of the clubs. We actually have precedent for this, Will, from another Irish golfer, Leona Maguire, en route to Geneva, had to appeal to Dublin Airport to find her clubs as well. Now, she got them on time, and you would hope that the gears and machinations of airports, airlines and commercial interests, let's say, will find a way of getting those clubs to him on time. But after taking a couple of weeks break, after what was ultimately a challenging Open Championship, the Clara man at the moment has no golf clubs to play his next tournament in. And he actually went as far as to tweet a scene from Father Ted on Twitter to exemplify his feelings on the matter to Dublin Airport. Yes. We're all touching wood that we'll be seeing Shane tee off on Thursday tomorrow around 6 o'clock with his clubs intact.
David, thanks very much for bringing us up to date. It's front page on the Irish Daily Star under the headline Baggy Island, and Shane not pleased comparing the DAA to Father Ted. And it's the latest in just a string of awful publicity for Dublin Airport in what has been a most tumultuous year. Will, the heat pumps are very loud and not all they're cracked up to be. That's the verdict of Jamie listening in Nina. Will, proof that we need cash in our society, or else more than the tooth fairy will suffer, says a text. Another listener, Mairead. Morning, Mairead. The tooth fairy story is beautiful, Will, but would never have happened in a, quote, cashless society. Cash is not only king, it can be a fairy tale. And Will, why would we go for heat pumps when we may not have power this winter? We are warned about electricity shortages. Sounds like a bit of a contradictory policy, says the text. And one final one from Brian in Athlone. Morning, Brian. Now they want to use church properties to house Ukrainian refugees. Where was that charitable feeling for the last number of years as regards our own homeless? Indeed. Well, we shall be discussing much more than homelessness, much more than the church, much more than strange government policies. We actually have a good news story, a smiley news story after the news. Good morning. And it is a very, very good morning in Mullingar, where the Fla Ceoil continues and the crowds are just having a blast based on all the footage I've seen. And you can see, by the way, on the Midlands 103 social accounts. Just take a look at our Facebook stories, at our Insta stories. And day four of the festival gets underway. Midlands 103's Chloe Farrell has been out and about meeting some who are visiting the area, some for the first time.
Yeah, we've travelled over from Manchester specifically for the week to come and see a good lot of music and have a good crack. Well, the reason we've come over is my uncle is Paddy Maloney. He's a world-known flautist and he's going to be playing at the Flower over this week. So come down to catch up with family and see him play.
Well, I mean, like we say, we're just both travelling together and I'm catching up and trying to meet some of the family, so it's first time for me. So, yeah, really looking forward to it and the excitement, yeah. And we've got a real buzz about it at the minute and it's really early, so, yeah, looking forward to it.
Bernard O'Sullivan here from Cultus headquarters in Dublin. I believe that the local committee here have done a fantastic job. Never seen the town looking so well for what I know of Mullingar. It's looking fantastic and whatever, but they also said it's easy to polish a diamond, you know, so it's the goodness is already there. But from our point of view, whatever, yes, it's comparing very well at the minute because for me, I've been doing this for like more than three decades, and I find that the town, one of the greatest assets that a town has is its people. And if the people rise up, which they have done already and will continue to do over the next couple of days, they're the ones that sell your town and that have people come back.
My name is Joanne Doherty and I have been going to the Flowers since Derry in 2013, and I have to say Mullingar is fantastic. The Flower itself, I just think, is such an amazing celebration of the Irish language, Irish music and dance, and I think it's just such an incredible experience to physically be here and to meet everyone and to see the familiar faces year after year, and all the people that go to the flats. Such a family experience as well, and you can see the children, you know, there's a seven-year-old playing outside the chemist where I am in Weirs, you know, incredible, like playing the fiddle, and the talent that is here is just like the creme de la creme, but just it's such a warm and welcoming feeling to go to the flat.
And that selection of voices put together by Midlands 103's Chloe Farrell. Let's get a different perspective. Liam Gilleran is chairman of the Westmeath branch of the Vintners Federation. Good morning, Liam.
Good morning, Will. How are you?
I'm very well, and I'm glad to have you on the programme on a great occasion, because we've chatted many times in the last 2 years when you were down in the dumps, as were your colleagues, because of COVID and restrictions. And how are you feeling today?
Well, a little bit tired, but absolutely on a high. The town is just phenomenal. The volunteers, just incredible. The people, to see children coming into your pub there yesterday, had a 10-year-old there playing concertina, and then she took out a tin whistle, and I said to myself, oh my God, there's the next Sharon Shannon. Last night I had the Four Winds playing here, the great Tom Maloney and Dylan Pipes. Robbie Walsh, who'll be known as Bowron Buzz in Dublin. All these guys will be literally superstars in the flower world, and to be graced with their presence is just incredible. What a learning curve for me. Our members are just absolutely on a high, for obvious reasons, the crowds, the streets, and obviously the business. It's just incredible. That's all I can say. It's you know, you think you prepare for these events and you're trying to prepare for the unknown within reason, but it's, the event is just in the stratosphere at this stage. The town is spotless. To see how the Westmeath County Council have cleaned this town is beautiful to see. And you see guys actually taking lampshades off the street lights to clean them. It's,
that's meticulous attention to detail.
Absolutely. And speaking to our chairman, Ken Blaine of the Westmeath County Council, the work that they've done is incredible. The only word I keep using all the time is awesome. It's the only word I can kind of literally get some feel for the pulse and the goodness and of this town. And this is one of your previous speakers there on, when I was waiting to come on to you there. you're just saying, that the people of the town make the flat, and that is so true. The people of Mullingar have been so welcoming to all the visitors that have come here. People from Atlanta, Georgia, from Albuquerque, from New Mexico, it's California, Canada, Japan. You know, it's because I just asked you before, where you have to come from.
Are these people with Irish roots, or are they just fans of the music?
Well, a lot of them have some connection, but there's a young lady here last night, you know, 17 years of age, with her mother, and I was chatting with her, and they live in New Mexico. And I asked her, you know, is there any diaspora, you know, what Irish connection? She said, well, none really. She said, my daughter had a friend, and they met in school, and she took up a fiddle as a 3 or 4 or 5 year old. And here she was last night doing jigs and reels, and really no Irish connection whatsoever. And she was more Irish than I am, you know. It's amazing to see people from different races playing all these instruments on the streets. It just proves how big we are as a nation, and the spread that we have across the world with our beautiful music is just incredible.
You've been to EFLA before, so you had some idea what to expect. Some of your colleagues in the Vintners Federation, they were caught a little by surprise.
I suppose initially, but in all fairness, all our suppliers and breweries, I mean, they're on call every day. So obviously there's going to be a shortage very quickly, because I've no doubt that some of our members probably didn't grasp what was coming towards them, like this tsunami of business. And it's not their fault, because if you've never done a FLA, it's very hard to comprehend what's coming at you.
And it's a good surprise.
It's a fantastic surprise, given the last 2 years were very tough on our business. But the way it's going now, it's just incredible. I mean, Mullingar this year has just been phenomenal. Like, I started off at a Bachelor Festival. Then we had the LGBT Festival there a couple of weeks ago. And now the FLA, I mean, the people of Mullingar are just incredible. I mean, Joe Kinnear and Willie Penrose are the main drivers of this, along with his brother Johnny. And these guys deserve the freedom of the town and the county, if that's possible. Because the amount of business that brought to this town, it's just phenomenal. I mean, to walk down Mullingar yesterday from the Green Bridge down as far as where I am now, and to see all the children and the families over their dogs, and people just playing music everywhere. Plenty of Garda presence, which is tremendous, because they're so helpful to see them on the horses going around the town, and all the kids going over to see the Garda on the horses. It's picture postcard stuff.
Savour it and enjoy it and soak up every moment of it. And, you know, again, it's just a rehearsal for next year as well.
Absolutely. You know, it's, they always say the second year is always the better year, and from a business perspective, because you've learned your lessons from the first year. But look, at overall, every one of us as publicans and even the hotels here, we're all working so closely together, as we are with our other colleagues on retail. And when I see Wilst across the road here, and he's a small stage in his clothes shop, I mean, that speaks volumes of the welcome that everybody is making for all these fantastic musicians that are coming to town. So hats off to everybody and anybody that has been an effort. And the volunteers, the Mullingar Tidy Towns, are here every morning at 4 or 5 o'clock, taking up all the plastics. All the business are leaving all the plastics outside at night time. So when you come back into your pub or your premises, into the town, it closes at 10 o'clock every morning. It's absolutely spotless. You know, and these things don't happen, you know, overnight, but they do. They come out at 3 or 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and they're busy bees keeping the town so clean, you know, and it's just hats off to everybody. To say I'm emotional is an understatement, because I absolutely love this town, but I never experienced anything to make this be part of it. It's just incredible.
Well, Liam, I appreciate your time this morning. One favour, though. Midlands 103 is broadcasting not too far away from you. Roy Jennings and Carl James, if they wander in, do not serve them, OK?
OK, as long as I've got ID.
You don't want to see that mugshot. Liam, thank you.
Thank you very much, Will.
Liam Gilleran from Gilleran's Bar in Mullingar. He's chairman of the Westmeath Vintners Federation. 20 past 10.